The Broncos offense once again looks like the Broncos offense. And now it's getting another weapon.
Loads up, home run ball. He's got Demaryius Thomas. Thomas is there inside the 10.
With the trade deadline approaching, Denver deals for Vernon Davis.
Anybody who wants to come in here and stick their hands into the pile to help us win a championship, we're going to welcome with open arms.
But at the same time, the Broncos get bad news about rookie left tackle Tyson Brailo.
Guys, Ty's not going to make it back, okay? And it's really hard for him because his kids tried really hard.
All this on a week when they're facing the team that knocked them out of the playoffs a year ago.
I got some news you guys might not know about. Oh, I guess you already know about it.
Three and Out starts right now. Never a dull day at the UC Health Training Center. Hello, and thank you for joining us for this week's Three and Out as we are in owner Pat Bowlen's conference room. Let's get things cooking with First Down. Time for First Down now, and we're joined by Andrew Mason. And Mace, the Broncos coming off their best offensive performance of the season, and then they add another weapon with veteran tight end Vernon Davis as the trade deadline comes to a close here on Tuesday. Made the trade on Monday. Mace, what does it mean?
Well, it means the Broncos have another threat when they go into the red zone in particular, and that's an area that we know has been a struggle point for the Broncos this year. Getting touchdowns in the red zone, they once again had to settle for a field goal on one of their red zone forays Sunday night against Green Bay. But Vernon Davis has 29 catches from the touchdown catches from the 20-yard line on in since 2009. Hasn't been that effective in the last year or so, but you have to chalk that up to some of the quarterback issues that the 49ers have had, and I think he's going to get a better situation. And like he said on the radio on Monday afternoon, he's excited to play with Peyton Manning, so I think that can get the best out of him, and the Broncos can get more out of their red zone offense than they have.
Of course, Gary Kubiak's system loves the tight ends, maybe three tight end sets at times. Vernon Davis, 55 career touchdowns, and his teammates are certainly excited to welcome him to the roster.
I think it was awesome. I think Elway is trying to bring he's continuously building a championship team, and adding him to this offense, he's going to bring another dimension to this team. Obviously, we all know what he's capable of doing. He's a two-time Pro Bowler. He's extremely fast. He's going to be able to help us stretch the field.
To have another weapon that can get out there and create, you know, havoc out there. We played against Vernon Davis for a while, and I played with him when he was in the NFC, when I was in the NFC, and now he's AFC player here at Denver Broncos. So I'm glad he's on my team, and he's one of those very impactful players.
Time for Second Down now, and on the same day that the Broncos find out they're adding a two-time Pro Bowler to the roster, they also found out that rookie left tackle Tyson Brailo will be heading to IR.
Yeah, tough break for Tyson Brailo. He's tried to get back from the shoulder injury. They said Monday was a torn labrum. Been trying to get back from that for a few weeks, has been practicing since October the 14th, but had not progressed enough. It wasn't responding, particularly to the full pad practice that he worked last Thursday. So he's going to go on IR, and what's going to happen is what you've seen from Ryan Harris and Tyler Palumbus, with Harris getting a majority of the snaps, but Palumbus rotating in on certain series. I think that's going to continue. They've found that's effective. It keeps both of them fresh, and I think that's really crucial for Ryan Harris because he's had some injury issues over the years, and they've both gotten the chemistry that they want to see with Evan Mathis next door at left guard getting a majority of the snaps there. So I think we've got an idea what the Broncos are going to look like going forward, and they think it's going to be effective down the line. But yeah, tough for Tyson Brailo, although he's still in the long-term plans.
Yeah, most definitely. Tough news for Tyson Brailo. Going to need the surgery. Out probably 4 to 6 months is what he was thinking, but he's definitely part of that long-term plan moving forward. But still, a very tough day and tough news for the team.
You know, he's got a pretty good injury, and they don't think it's going to get better. It's something that needs to be repaired. We gave him a chance to play through it. He wanted to try to play through it, so we made it through a month and worked his tail off last week, but just unable to do it. So it's a really tough day. I just told the team, and now I told you guys.
We were waiting to kind of get to a point where we were comfortable going out and practicing and, you know, having full contact with it. And, you know, went out there and tested it, and it just didn't hold up like we hoped it would. Playing in this league, it's, you know, you're playing against some pretty good athletes, so in order to be successful and do your job well, you kind of need to be, you know, comfortable, you know, in your space. So I think just kind of knowing that I didn't have the stability or the strength, it's kind of tough to go out there and perform.
Time for third down now, and we're joined by Ben Swanson. Of course, big game this week facing the Colts. Not only is Peyton Manning heading back to Indianapolis, but the Colts, of course, are the team that knocked the Broncos out of the playoffs last year. So setting it up, itself up for a pretty big matchup here.
Yeah, I was talking to Derek Wolfe in the locker room on Monday, and he was pretty hungry to face this team again. You know, they said they want to get another shot at them and kind of earn a win back after losing one in the playoffs last year. The Colts will be hungry to get back in the win column. They've lost three straight. Coming off a short week with a heartbreaking loss, Monday Night Football to the Panthers, coming home could be a little bit refreshing for them. Reports say that Andrew Luck is playing with, I think, fractured ribs in addition to after he left a couple games earlier this season with a separated shoulder. So he's a little bit banged up, thrown 12 picks, most in the NFL. Against this Broncos defense, turning the ball over isn't really the best option. So the Broncos will be hungry to kind of get that win back, as I mentioned earlier. So it'll be a good matchup on the road.
Yeah, clearly I don't think Andrew Luck looks quite like himself. We may have seen him make some uncharacteristic mistakes here. So it'll definitely be interesting to see how the Broncos defense matches up with that Colts offense. Because like we saw in the Monday night game, they could clearly turn it on, you know, every now and then as they came back in that game, lost in overtime though. So it's definitely interesting to see how they match up. But Chris Harris Jr. will definitely be hungry for this one.
Anytime you lose, it always leaves a bad taste in your mouth. A team that put you out. They beat us. I think I'm 2-1 versus Andrew Luck, or they're 1-2 versus Andrew Luck. So it's something that we definitely want to get this win back. Well, I mean, he's been hurt. He's been banged up this year, and you don't want to face us being banged up and hurt. We're going to send the dogs to you and play man, so.
It's time for fourth down, so let's punt things over to our social media department and Scott Ward.
Thanks, Phil. Always a pleasure to be on the show. First question this week is from Michael Ryan, a new questioner. He is at MichaelRyan2527. He's wondering, does the Vernon Davis trade mean less playing time for Virgil Green? Mace, your thoughts.
Well, Michael, I actually think it's going to mean a little bit less playing time, not only for Virgil Green, but Owen Daniels. I think you're going to see Vernon Davis take some snaps from both of them. That's going to keep them all fresher, obviously. But I think we're also going to see some different formations. Gary Kubiak has always liked to have three tight ends that he can rely on. He can even go all the way back to the Broncos Super Bowl seasons of 1997, 1998, when he had Shannon Sharp, Byron Chamberlain, Dwayne Carswell, and then had Desmond Clark working in there as well from time to time as the years went on. So he likes to have multiple tight ends. He's going to use multiple tight ends. He's going to find ways to get them on the field. So maybe a little less work for Virgil Green, a little less work for Owen Daniels, but I think it's going to keep them all fresher and increase the flexibility of the offense.
Wow, Mace. That's why they call you the Mace. All right, next question. This one is from Ralph Ferguson. He is at DJ73104. He wonders, what did the Broncos secondary do to completely baffle the Packers? Swanee.
That's a good question. I mean, this secondary is obviously one of the best in the league between the two cornerbacks. I mean, that's where it really starts. Those guys are shutdown corners. And that's difficult against Aaron Rodgers because he can extend plays with his feet. I mean, we saw the offensive line hold blocks a little bit longer. So the cornerbacks really had to stick with their wide receivers a bit more than usual. They said they have to stick with him for the first 2.5 seconds, and then once the play extends for another 2.5 seconds, once those route trees kind of break off. So it seems, from what we heard in the locker room, they said that they just defended these routes longer than other teams have been able to do that. And with that, Rodgers was forced to kind of try and elude the pass rush a little bit more, and as we saw in the second half, he wasn't able to do that. Some sacks set them up, and the Broncos were able to hold Aaron Rodgers to just 77 gross yards passing.
Gross? That was gross. Anyway, show's over as usual, but we'll send it back to Phil.
Thank you very much, Scott. That's going to do it for this week. Special thanks to Andrew Mason, Ben Swanson, and Austin Brink behind the camera. I'm Phil Milani, and that's been 3 and Out.